The Urban Consulate, according to its website, is a network of parlors for city dwellers and travelers seeking urban exchange. It's hosted conversations about economic development, cooperation, and recently, conversations about race. Claire Nelson is Consul General of the Urban Consulate. It's active in Detroit, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. As part of the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I recently talked with her at the headquarters in Detroit and asked her what the group means by parlors.
Well, it's not so much about the space, but the idea of people coming together to have frank conversations. We like conversations in an intimate setting. So in all three cities, we've done things in historic buildings, in neighborhoods that are changing. And the idea is to bring together different perspectives, hopefully.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the goal behind it. Why do you want to have those conversations?
Well, initially, the idea came out of the growing awareness that for everyone who is doing amazing work in Detroit to improve their neighborhoods, there were twins that they had in other cities. So Detroit wasn't so alone in all of its challenges, and perhaps we could learn from other places. And there seemed to be a growing appetite at the time for more of those cross-city connections. But I will say that the consulate has also been playing, I think, an important role in just having intra-city conversations. So sometimes it's not about talking to someone, you know, across another place, but it's about talking about with someone across neighborhoods within the same community that don't always intersect or share ideas or thoughts on things.
And that's basically what I want to concentrate on. I mean, racial tensions are growing as the perceptions and evidence of racial inequality are growing. Many of Detroit's residents see billionaires buying up downtown. Mm-hmm. New retailers are opening, but they're selling things that most of Detroit's residents can't afford to buy. Mm-hmm. So there's this marked divide between that prosperity in the business districts and the poverty in the neighborhoods. So how is the Urban Consulate addressing those larger issues?
Yeah, those are big issues. I wouldn't pretend to say that we're going to, solve any of those issues, but I think our approach is that sometimes these conversations are had, let's say, in social media or in the media and comment sections and other places. We like to bring people face-to-face to talk. I think we curate a number of different situations where people can have real and open dialogue about some of the challenges of growth and development. I think sometimes folks who really love the city, who have been boosters for a long time and want to promote, you know, good development and good change, get stuck in a situation where it's hard to be critical if you're promoting a place that you love. But we want to leave a little room for that. Sometimes, you know, being a good patriot is having some fair criticism for the place that you love. So we encourage that. And sometimes bringing people in from other cities who are facing the same challenges have some really interesting insights, so that, you know, Detroit isn't so exceptional. In New Orleans, Philadelphia, they're having the same conversations that we have in cafes and bars and, community centers like throughout the city. A big thought with a consulate is not feeling so isolated and alone. And also just listening, learning to listen to other people's stories and their experiences and their feelings as the city changes, because a lot of development investment is driven, you know, by dollars and numbers, and there's not always so much space in that change to stop and reflect on, yeah, but how does it feel to have your neighborhood change, and what are ways we can engage residents and citizens in deciding what that change looks like?
So a little bit of history.
Yeah.
After the uprisings across the nation in 1967, President Lyndon Johnson established a commission to find out what happened. The commission's report included the findings that white attitudes and white racism caused the tensions that led to the uprisings. The current political climate is causing a lot of black residents of Detroit and other cities to wonder if anything's really changed. What does Urban Consulate and its participants do to address those kinds of concerns?
Well, I think through our programming, some of our conversations, we've been intentional about making sure the right people are leading the conversation. So oftentimes when you're talking about development investment, the people speaking about that are the people who are representing, you know, the banks or commercial interests.
I'm guessing that's a lot of white faces.
Yes. And so we're trying to flip that a little bit and have the voices leading conversations be people who are more community-based, who are or creative artists or who've been around a little longer, can share some history and context. That's one way.
Too often we hear from white people in general a sentence that begins, I'm not a racist, but that brings us to the topic of unconscious bias or implicit bias. White people don't think of themselves as being biased or racist, and often they're quick to accuse black people as playing the race card. What do you make of that miscommunication or misunderstanding between people, and have you seen that in the parlors that you've held at the Urban Consulate?
That's a lot in there. I would say that at the parlors of the Urban Consulate, I think we were drawing mostly a pretty progressive audience that's interested in learning and open to changing their minds about things, open to new perspectives. I'd like to do better at that, to be honest, at getting more people in the room who might not or might think that they know everything already but have still some stuff to learn. I would argue that a lot of white folks, it's not that they don't think they're racist. Well, it's that they might say they're not racist. It's that they don't think about this very much at all to begin with. If it's not part of their work or part of their immediate circle of family relationships, it's probably not on their radar as much as we might think it is, especially right now with so much like national news and conversation happening around these topics too. You'd think that more people be plugged in, but personally, my experience is that some of my closest friends, who I think are progressive, don't necessarily spend a lot of time thinking about these issues.
I want to talk. You're white. Many of your colleagues are black. What kind of discussions do you guys have in private about racial tensions in the city?
Well, I would say that I feel very fortunate that I have friends who can be very honest and direct with me about ways that I might be blind to how I have contributed to some of the challenges that you're talking about, and have helped me kind of do some critical review of my own role in the city's change.
Can you give me an example? Is it like somebody you invited or didn't invite to one of the discussions here?
Yeah, I mean, well, I've had colleagues that I've worked with, I guess, for years and friends who I played different roles in the city. I was a small business owner. I worked in media before doing this project. And I think it's been a growing awareness and an ongoing conversation that's helped me see things that I didn't see 5 years ago. Examples, I guess, would be sources for stories or speakers that we've had who, for whatever reason, have a lot of courage in order to call out some stuff, some BS and some hypocrisy that I think I've been immune to perhaps before this. I think when you put yourself out there as someone who's interested in storytelling and conversations, maybe then that's a signal that you're open to learning and listening a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I've been part of a media that was very promotional of Detroit, that was very pro-growth, that was very pro-investment. And sometimes not understanding the negative consequence of that. So, you know, I was the publisher of Model D, and I've hosted speaker series and events throughout the city for years. I help promote, do like promotions in Midtown for the local independent shops, and have encouraged other friends of mine to open small businesses in the city. And I was doing all of that from a place that started with my personal problem that I was working towards being the regional segregation, right? So I was coming from a place where I was always encouraging folks to live closer together because I was bothered by the metropolitan segregation. But now as more people are moving back downtown, whether they're, you know, their parents left to go to the suburbs and they're returning or they're coming from other cities, I feel like that the tensions of segregation are just like a little bit more dense. There's still segregation still happening at a neighborhood level, whereas before it was at kind of a larger metropolitan area. And that means you're confronting it all the time. It's right in your face. So I could go with a black friend the other night to have dinner, and he's like, oh, my God, it's so white. And he saying it makes me more aware of something that maybe I would have noticed, but maybe I wouldn't have noticed so much. And I think, you know, it's a lot of it. For me, I feel like I've learned a lot from having people who having trusting relationships with friends and colleagues where we could have these private conversations. So I do have a lot of faith in the possibility that when people come together to share perspectives, it can change how people think. And I've seen people benefit from that and change over the years in their work, especially folks who work in economic development, who have a very, you know, numbers, profit-oriented mindset. I can see them change over time as they have maybe trusted confidants or colleagues who make them aware of the limitations of their thinking. But I also see a lot of people who maybe aren't so open-minded to seeing things in a different way, and that's where the challenge becomes, you know, is it a task of diplomacy or is it a task of activism? And that's a conversation we actually had here last week that I'm really interested in continuing.
Claire Nelson leads the Urban Consulate, which works in Detroit, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Support for the Detroit Journalism Cooperative on Michigan Radio comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Renaissance Journalism's Michigan Reporting Initiative, the Ford Foundation, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.